You can see in your bulletin that we're turning now to Joshua chapter 1. And as we turn there, let me pray for us. Our Lord Jesus, we acknowledge now in prayer what we have just acknowledged in song, which is our confidence that you will hold us fast, even when our grip grows weak, yours never does. You will hold us fast. You will hold on to us. You will hold on to us in such a way as to see us to the end. And you do that by your word. And so we pray again that you would open our eyes to behold the wonders that you have for us here. Lord Jesus, we cry out as we turn to your word that you would hold us and hold us fast. Amen. Amen. As I was thinking about this Sunday sermon, I got to thinking about what might be a good word for all of us to hear at a time of transition, at a time of handing over and saying goodbye and moving on. And of course, there are any number of avenues that we might have taken, any number of Bible passages that we might have gone to. And I was almost immediately drawn to this one, to Joshua chapter 1. There are a few moments quite like it in the whole of the Bible. This moment in Israel's history when Moses hands things over to Joshua. And now Joshua is the one who's going to lead the people, and it's not going to be easy. So Joshua chapter 1 this morning. Before we get there, and I have printed in your bulletin some verses that we're going to focus on, but before we even get there, a bit of background, back up to the end of Deuteronomy, the book just before this one. At the end of Deuteronomy, the Lord, through Moses, is preparing Joshua and Israel for the day when Moses won't be with them anymore. And at that point, Joshua is going to take his place. Joshua is the one who's going to lead them into the land. So, end of Deuteronomy, Israel is encamped just to the east of the Jordan River. They're going to have to cross the river in order to enter the promised land to the west of the Jordan River. Listen to these verses. This is Deuteronomy chapter 31. Moses says this to the people. This is Deuteronomy 31 at the beginning. It says, Moses continued to speak these words to all Israel, and he said to them, I am 120 years old today. I am no longer able to go out and come in. The Lord has said to me, you shall not go over this Jordan. The Lord your God himself will go over before you. He will destroy these nations before you so that you shall dispossess them. And Joshua will go over at your head as the Lord has spoken. And the Lord will do to them as he did to Sihon and Og, the kings of the Amorites, and to their land when he destroyed them. And the Lord will give them over to you, and you shall do to them according to the whole commandment that I have commanded you. Be strong and courageous. Do not fear or be in dread of them. For it is the Lord your God who goes with you, he will not leave you nor forsake you. So there we hear it for the first time. Be strong and courageous. Then we keep going. Moses has been speaking to the people. Then he speaks personally to Joshua, who's the one who's going to lead them. Same chapter, Deuteronomy 31. Moses keeps going, but now he's talking to Joshua. And he says this, be strong and courageous. For you, Joshua, shall go with this people into the land that the Lord has sworn to their fathers to give them, and you shall put them in possession of it. It is the Lord who goes before you. He will be with you. He will not leave you or forsake you. Do not fear or be dismayed. So that's twice now. Joshua's heard this, be strong and courageous. And then later in the same chapter, We're still in Deuteronomy 31. The Lord himself speaks to Joshua. The Lord commissioned Joshua the son of Nun and said, "Be strong and courageous, for you shall bring the people of Israel into the land that I swore to give them. I will be with you." So by the time you reach the end of Deuteronomy 31, it's been said three times to Joshua. He keeps hearing this. Be strong and courageous. And then Joshua chapter 1 picks up right where Deuteronomy leaves off. It doesn't just keep going with the story. It keeps going with the very language that we've just been hearing in Deuteronomy, the very language that's already ringing in our ears. So listen to Joshua 1, and this is what's printed there in your bulletin, these first 9 verses. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' assistant, "Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, arise, go over this Jordan, you and all this people, into the land that I am giving to them, to the people of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given to you, just as I promised to Moses. From the wilderness and this Lebanon, as far as the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites to the great sea, toward the going down of the sun shall be your territory. No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. Just as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you nor forsake you. Be strong and courageous. For you shall cause this people to inherit the land that I swore to their fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous, being careful to do according to all the law that Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may have good success wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be frightened, and do not be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go." That's three more times, just in those verses. Verse 6, verse 7, verse 9, be strong and courageous. And there's one more. Right? We heard it three times in Deuteronomy 31. We've just heard it three times in Joshua 1. The story goes on. Joshua assumes his new role. And one of the first things that he does in his new role as Israel's leader has to do with the 2.5 tribes who are eventually going to settle on the land that's to the east of the Jordan River. And Joshua reminds them, yes, that is their inheritance. That's where they're going to settle. But before they settle there, they're going to have to cross over the Jordan with everybody else and fight with everybody else. So he reminds them of that. And guess what they say back to him? This is Joshua 1, beginning at verse 16. They, that is these 2.5 tribes, they answered Joshua, "All that you have commanded us, we will do. And wherever you send us, we will go. Just as we obeyed Moses in all things, so we will obey you. Only may the Lord your God be with you, as he was with Moses. Whoever rebels against your commandment and disobeys your words, whatever you command him shall be put to death. Only be strong and courageous." By the time you get to the end of Joshua 1, you can almost imagine Joshua saying, "Okay, I get it." 7 times it's been spoken. It starts to feel like a stage production in which one character after the next, and then a whole chorus takes the stage singing the same refrain, "Be strong and courageous." Total of 7 times you hear that refrain, and 6 of those 7, it's said to Joshua directly. Be strong and courageous. Now, it doesn't take any great interpretive leap to realize that that is language, that is a calling that rightly, deeply resonates within our own souls as the people of God today. As extraordinary as Joshua's role was in Bible history, as different as those circumstances were compared to our own today, still, Christians today, we're called to that very same thing, called to rise up and to be strong and courageous in the Lord's service. That's one of the reasons why the tail end of Deuteronomy and the beginning of Joshua does resonate with us, because we hear that phrase over and over again and we know it. We know that that's our calling too. And that's not just an inference. The New Testament spells that out. Makes it very clear that we ought to be marked by strength and courage too. That's why I read for us Ephesians 6 earlier in our service. Paul says to them, finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Ephesians 6. So there's strength. And what about courage? Well, think about 1 Peter 3. Peter says, even if you should suffer for righteousness' sake, you will be blessed. Have no fear of them or be troubled. So we're not just inferring here. It is spelled out in black and white in our Bibles, in our New Testaments. We're called to the very same things. Be strong and courageous. So we can learn a good bit from Joshua 1 about what that means, about what that looks like, about how we attain to that strength and courage to which we're called. So let's reflect upon this here. And I'll tell you right now, we'll do so making use of these three headings. First of all, the basics, what strength and courage are, the basics. And then the basis, that is, what's the foundation of these virtues in our lives as Christians? What's the basis of them? And then we'll note some Bible examples. So the basics and the basis and some examples in Scripture. First of all, the basics. Let's get clear on this. What is this strength that we're called to? It's strength of heart, a firm resolve to do what God has called us to do, an unwavering trust that God will do what he has promised to do. Perhaps ironically, perhaps counterintuitively, it would have meant for Joshua, and it still means this for us today, it would have meant knowing his own weakness, admitting his own inability left to himself to accomplish what he was supposed to accomplish. That's part of real strength, is knowing your own weakness, knowing what your strength is not. So this famous verse from Zechariah 4, verse 6. This is the word of the Lord, not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord of hosts. And so the strength to which Joshua was called was the strength, even in his own weakness, to hold on to the promises of God and to act accordingly. Not the strength to win on his own, but the strength of heart to trust and obey. And that's true for us as well. I read that Ephesians 6 verse earlier. Listen to it again. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Strength of heart, that's what it is. And what about this courage? What's this courage that we're called to? Again, just thinking about the basics. Well, Joshua was called to lead Israel over into the promised land, even though it wasn't going to be easy to do that. The nations of Canaan weren't going to lie down and let it happen. They were going to fight. And so Joshua was going to have to lead Israel into battle. And so the calling to be courageous is the calling to have that resolve to do what God has called you to do, even in the face of threats, even in the face of obstacles, in the face of things that might have you shrink back and recoil. Being courageous means having an underlying motivation that wins out over whatever propensity you might have to shrink back. An underlining motivation that propels you forward. And what was that motive for Joshua? What is it for us? It's love for the Lord. A love for Him that drives us into the battle so that we don't recoil from it. Those are the basics. That's what this strength is. That's what this courage is. Now, secondly, I said I want us to think a little bit about the basis of it. In other words, the foundation of it. Where does this strength and courage come from? Well, it's right here in the words that are spoken to Joshua again and again. And I'll unpack it in this way. I hope when you remember me as your pastor, you will remember that I tried now and then to give you alliteration, that I sought to give you that good gift Sunday after Sunday. So the basis we can think about in terms of these three, and they all begin with PR, divine presence and promise and precept. Presence, promise, and precept. First of all, divine presence. This is a running theme here. Not only is it said over and over again to Joshua, be strong and courageous, but also in every speech in which it's said, at the end of Deuteronomy and the beginning of Joshua, the imperative, be strong and courageous, is grounded in the fact that God will be with you, presence. God will be with you. Often it's put in terms of the reassuring negative. He will never leave you nor forsake you. Divine presence. When Moses says it to Israel in Deuteronomy 31, he says, be strong and courageous. Do not fear or be in dread of them, for it is the Lord your God who goes with you. He will not leave you or forsake you. When Moses says it to Joshua in Deuteronomy, he says, it is the Lord who goes before you. He will be with you. He will not leave you or forsake you. When the Lord himself says it to Joshua, he says, I will be with you. Just as I was with Moses, I will be with you. I will not leave you or forsake you. And even when the people of God say it back to Joshua, they say, we will obey you, only may the Lord your God be with you as he was with Moses. So you see, the courage that's in view here, in Joshua's life and in yours, it isn't the kind of courage, the kind of false courage, the kind of false bravado that faces some challenge and says, I got this. I can handle this entirely on my own. No, that's folly. True courage, biblical courage, faces some challenge and cries out, Lord, be with me, and trusts that he will. You see, it is a lie. It is a distortion of the idea of courage to say that it involves total self-sufficiency. Listen to Psalm 124, because this is a psalm that so beautifully captures this. Psalm 124 says this, if it had not been the Lord who was on our side, let Israel now say, if it had not been the Lord who was on our side when people rose up against us, they would have swallowed us up alive when their anger was kindled against us. The flood would have swept us away. The torrent would have gone over us. Then over us would have gone the raging waters. Psalm 124. That is not the confession of somebody who's thinking, we could have handled it on our own. No, the psalmist admits it freely. If the Lord had not been with us, if we had not had his presence, we'd have been lost. The Lord who is on our side, he is at our side. He is not some distant ally. He's right with us. We have his presence near at hand. That's what makes for strength and courage. David knew that. And that's why he taught it to Solomon. So it's not just Moses handing these things over to Joshua who will follow him. Then it's David who's handing kingship over to Solomon who will follow him. Listen to David, 1 Chronicles 28. David said to Solomon his son, you won't be surprised, be strong and courageous. And do it. Do not be afraid and do not be dismayed. For the Lord God, even my God, is with you. He will not leave you or forsake you until all the work for the service of the house of the Lord is finished. If this whole be strong and courageous is like a chorus that they keep singing in Deuteronomy and Joshua, well, all those years later, it's like the chorus is sung again, and now David's the one who's singing it to Solomon. Same words, be strong and courageous, and you can and you will be those things because the Lord is with you. He will not leave you nor forsake you. It's almost Bible copy and paste. And then you keep going in Israel's history. King Hezekiah, speaking to the people of Jerusalem at a time when they are bracing themselves for the coming of the armies of Assyria. Guess what he says? 2 Chronicles 32, he says, be strong and courageous. With him is an arm of flesh, but with us is the Lord our God to help us fight, to fight our battles. 2 Chronicles 32. Over and over again in the Old Testament, not just here, but as you keep going, it's the same thing. Be strong and courageous, and you can and you will be those things because you have the very presence of God as no other people has it. And for us today, it's the very same thing. If ever there were a calling that required strength and courage, it's this one. It's this commission, and it is a great commission indeed. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I've commanded you. That's going to take strength and courage. Where are we going to get it? We're going to get it in what he says next. Behold, I am with you. I'm with you always. I'm with you always to the end of the age. That's the importance of presence for strength and courage. Then comes our second PR. Right here we're exploring the basis. The first was divine presence. Next is divine promise. Divine promise. God called Joshua to be strong and courageous, and he did so, reassuring him that God would bless him, that God would give him the victory in the battles that were ahead of him. When Moses speaks to Israel in Deuteronomy 31, he says, "The Lord your God will destroy these nations before you so that you shall dispossess them." When the Lord speaks to Joshua, he says, "Every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given to you. No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. You shall cause this people to inherit the land that I swore to their fathers to give them." So here Joshua was called to be strong and courageous, not wondering how it was all going to turn out. It's not to say that Joshua knew precisely how it was going to turn out, but he did know with certainty that in the end, God was going to give him the victory. And for us today, it's the same thing. We freely admit that from one circumstance to the next, there's some uncertainty about what a day holds. But in the grand scheme of things, there is no uncertainty. What God has promised to do for us is to bring us home. God has promised that He's overseeing and orchestrating every single detail in the whole of human history, including your life, to the end that salvation will be finished and eternity will be ushered in. We have that promise. In the grand scheme of things, we cannot lose. So yes, we feel from day to day the uncertainty as to how the day will go. And yes, we are sensitive to the threats and the obstacles that we face. But the point is that we have a certainty, we have a promise that prevails over all of that. Real strength and courage are founded upon that. So divine presence, divine promise, and finally, divine precept. In other words, the course of action that God commands of us. His precepts, the way that He has called us to live and to serve Him. And this one too, it keeps coming out in the way that Joshua was called. Moses says to Israel, Deuteronomy, he says, "The Lord God will give them over to you, and you shall do to them according to the whole commandment that I've commanded you." The whole commandment that I've commanded you. Or listen again to what the Lord says to Joshua in chapter 1. He says, "Be strong and very courageous, being careful to do according to all the law that Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may have good success wherever you go. The book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night." Joshua was called to be strong and courageous, not in doing any old thing that he wanted to do. No, he was to be strong and courageous in doing the very thing that God had called him to do. He was to be strong and courageous in obedience. In obedience. And for us Christians today, it's the very same thing. We're to be strong and courageous in obedience. God's word has got to control. It's not as if being strong and courageous for the sake of righteousness means doing whatever outrageous form of self-sacrifice comes to mind. No, it's in doing what God has told us to do that real strength and courage are put on display. And that does take strength and courage to be willingly, happily confined, limited, bound by what God has said about how we're to live, about what we're to think and feel and speak and do. So those three PRs make up the basis of this. How are we going to be strong and courageous? His presence, His promise, and His precept. And that brings me then, as I said, to our last heading today, which are some examples of this. Right? Our first heading was the basics. What is this strength? What is this courage? Our second was the basis, divine presence and promise and precept. Now our third is, who else in the Bible exemplifies this, models this? Joshua did, but he wasn't the only one. And of course, the chief example was Christ Himself. So now we fix our eyes on Him. The one who calls us to this is also the one who so beautifully models this for us, the Lord Jesus. No one was ever called the way He was called, to be strong and courageous. Firmly resolved to do the will of His Father. Resolved to do so in the face of unimaginable obstacles and temptations. So what about Him? What about Jesus? Where did His strength and courage come from? The same three things. Presence, promise, precept. Think about presence. his Father's presence with him. Think about John 16. Jesus said, "Behold, the hour is coming. Indeed, it has come when you will be scattered, each to his own home, and will leave me alone. Yet I am not alone, for the Father is with me." John 16. His Father's presence. Also, his Father's promise. What the Father had promised the Son as to what was ultimately in store for him. Think about Hebrews 12, where it says that Jesus is the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. He practiced, he exhibited strength and courage even in the face of the cross, even as he was dying on it, because of what had been promised him, because of the joy that was set before him. Presence and promise, and yes, precept too. John 6, Jesus said, "I have come down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me." Jesus enters into our own experience in his humanity and abides by the Father's will for him as he lives it out. So we see all of this in Christ himself. Strength and courage, standing on the same foundation. And not just Christ, think about Paul. I love how the Bible gives us the example of our sinless Savior, as well as the examples of sinners like us who say, "Follow me as I follow Christ." What a perfect book to give us all of the models and examples that we need. The one sinless one and a host of sinful ones, and Paul was one of those. Acts 23, Paul reflecting upon his own calling. He says, "The Lord stood by me and said, 'Take courage, for as you have testified to the facts about me in Jerusalem, so you must also testify in Rome.'" And that's just one moment in Paul's ministry where he's called to strength and courage too. And all three stones in the foundation are right there. Presence, for it says the Lord stood by Paul and said, "Take courage." And promise, the Lord says, "You must also testify in Rome." The implication is God is promising, "I'm going to get you there." And precept, "You must testify." In other words, I have a mission for you. I have a calling. I have a commandment for you. I'm going to be with you, and I'm going to get you to Rome, not to do any old thing that you want to do, but to do what I have called you to do and to be. So for Paul, too, it was presence and promise and precept. And so he was strong and courageous. Now, brothers and sisters, how can we take these things to heart today? One of the dangers that we face in this, especially thinking about these biblical models like Joshua and Paul and even Christ himself, one of the dangers is that we'll end up thinking about being strong and courageous as if it were something that's limited to dramatic moments in the lives of famous men. And we might think, well, that's stirring to read about, but really, what does this have to do with me? I'm just a... and then you fill in your blank. I'm just an engineer, housewife, student, pastor, seminary dean. Joshua was one of a kind. So was Paul. Of course, so was Christ. Their lives were dramatic. Their lives were of historic significance, but our lives not so much. And so the language, "be strong and courageous," we might be tempted to think that that doesn't fit our lives. But it does. And we need to think in precisely the opposite direction. Don't think, well, my life's ordinary, therefore be strong and courageous doesn't apply to me. No, think in the opposite direction. Say, "be strong and courageous does apply to me. Therefore, there must be a significance, a kind of drama about my life from the very moment I get out of bed in the morning. As ordinary and as unnoticeable as many of my moments may seem to be, think about things that way, and suddenly all of those ordinary and unnoticeable moments are transformed. In a sense, there aren't any ordinary moments anymore. Who knows what sort of circumstance you're going to face that's going to take strength and courage of you tomorrow, even today? Trusting in the Lord, firmly resolved to do His will in the face of obstacles and threats. It may be just getting out of bed. We all know that can take a fair amount of strength and courage some days. Whatever it is, in that moment, as you perhaps feel yourself recoiling, you can lean in instead and say, "Presence, God is with me." And promise, He will guide and strengthen me and work for my good. And precept, He has called me to get out of bed and to live for Him today until I rest again. Each and every ordinary challenging moment is a little battle scene. And God is with you and for you and over you in that moment. Changes the way you see your life. I'll say this as well, point about repetition. Joshua was told over and over again, be strong and courageous. I guess we should say he was told over and over and over and over and over and over again. 6 times out of the 7, it's said to Joshua himself. It's a reminder for us that in Christian discipleship, there is a place for being reminded. Reminded of our callings, including this one, the calling to strength and courage. There's a place even for hearing these things again from brothers and sisters in Christ, even though you've already heard them from God Himself in the Bible. One of the most remarkable moments in this story is at the very end. Remember when the 2.5 tribes... tell Joshua to be strong and courageous. At that point, he's already heard that several times from the mouth of the Lord. You might imagine Joshua saying to these 2.5 tribes, who do you people think you are that I need to hear it from you? I've already heard it quite a few times from God. I'm good. But no, it would have been silly for him to reply that way. Because that's the way the church works. That's the way the word works. First, God speaks to us, and then we who are His people, we take that word that we've received and we speak it to one another. We encourage one another in the Lord. That's the way it works. It still does. We have Scripture, we have God's word, and we make that word into the words that we speak into one another's lives as the body of Christ. So our words are not superfluous. That's precisely what we're supposed to do with God's word. We make it our own. And so we don't roll our eyes when a brother or sister says to us something that we've read 1,000 times before in the pages of Scripture. No, that's why it's there in Scripture. So that we can imbibe these things and then speak them to one another. That's the way it works. So thank God for repetition. Be reminded of the glory of being reminded. And that brings me then to my last point this morning. And of course, this morning when I say my last point, I really mean my last point. After 25 years, 32, if you count from the summer when I first stumbled through the doors of New Hope, this is a word that we all need to hear this morning, you and me both. It's not like New Hope is on the cusp of a transition that's of the same historical significance as Moses handing things over to Joshua. Let's not get carried away. We're not that important. But still, this is a season of moving on for all of us. And so that phrase, be strong and courageous, it hits home this morning. Because that's exactly what we're all going to need to be in the days to come. You and me both. And the good news is, by the grace of God, we can be. The grace of God is more than able to give us the strength and courage that we need. And it's a handy trio to store up and take with you, for me to take with me. Presence. He will be with you. And with me. Promise. He will guide you. And he will guide me. And precept. He will do all of this as we hold fast to his word. It's true, for a while you will be without a pastor. Just never forget. You will not be sheep without a shepherd. Because that's what Jesus is and has always been for you. Certainly what he's been for these 32 years that I've been with you. Never forget, Christ was strong and courageous first. Now he holds out his hand. Says, follow me. So let us follow him. You and me both. Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, we do fix our eyes squarely on you, the eyes of faith. You are the same yesterday and today and forever. Thank you that you not only call us to strength and courage in your service, but you also model these things for us. Not only do you model them for us, but you deal graciously with us so that we might be like you, standing on the same foundation. You say, not only follow me, but you also say, walk where I have walked, on the same foundation of the presence and the promise and the precept of God. So we thank you for this reminder. And we ask you to keep reminding us, our hearts as well as our heads. And we ask it for your glory among us. Amen.